The upcoming Day of Silence. Damage caused by trans inclusion in female athletics, a Massachusetts case study. Generation anxiety. Smartphones have created a Gen Z mental health crisis, but there are ways to fix it. Welcome to Fair News Weekly. To read all of the articles discussed in this podcast, please visit this podcast's episode description. Dear friends of Fair, the act of peaceful student protest is one of the most deeply embedded traditions in American culture. From the Vietnam War and freedom of speech and academic expression to the civil rights movement, sit-ins, walkouts, and other forms of student protest have always served to highlight the most important issues in our society. This upcoming Friday, April 12th, marks the 23rd annual Day of Silence, as promoted by GLSEN, an organization whose focus is to advise on, advocate for, and research comprehensive policies designed to protect LGBTQ students as well as students of marginalized identities. Students who choose to participate remain silent during portions of the school day to show their support of and solidarity with members of the LGBTQ community. Some students also choose to dress in all-black clothing or wear pins explaining their protest. The First Amendment protects public school students' rights to engage in this form of peaceful protest so long as it doesn't materially and substantially interfere with the operation of the school. Likewise, when students choose not to participate in the Day of Silence, the First Amendment protects them as well. We at FAIR seek to deliver on our mission by supporting diversity without division. The Day of Silence can be an occasion for students to honor their many differences. On the other hand, we have also seen instances where the Day of Silence leads to unfortunate and unnecessary division among students. In these cases, students may feel so ostracized that they withdraw from class participation or avoid attending school on the Day of Silence altogether. That is why we have drafted a template letter that is available for all to use. The letter discusses the important constitutional protections at play in most student protests, including the Day of Silence. If you feel that the partnership of your child's school will benefit with a thoughtful dialogue on this topic, this letter is for you. You can download it here with the link in the description, in Word version, and amend the highlighted portions to fit your needs. We encourage you to share this helpful resource with your friends and family as well. As always, if your child experiences a violation of their civil or constitutional rights at school, please submit an incident report on fairtransparency.org. We will do our best to respond and react to those incidents in a timely manner. Warmly, Leanne O'Neill, Director of FAIR Legal. For FAIR Substack, Julian Adorney and Mark Johnson wrote about navigating the paradox of progress and well-being. They write, "So what can we do to ameliorate the malaise of modern society and get back to the emotional peace and well-being that our ancestors experienced? One key is to get back into the rhythms from which we evolved. Cultivate idle time. Develop a closer circle of friends, and spend more time in person with other human beings rather than trying to connect through a keyboard. As far as our evolved brains are concerned, the latter is mostly pseudo-connection anyway. If you're in conflict with someone else, get together in person and physically move through it. Once we start working through our biology instead of against it, we might be surprised at how much better we and our society as a whole start to feel." For Quillette, FAIR advisor Jonathan Kay wrote about a biologically male high school student participating in female categories in at least four different sports. Kay writes, "Once the ideological movement to undermine the reality of sexual dimorphism has run its course, and it's, once again, become settled policy across the sporting world that turning he into she should not be a magic ticket into female leagues or locker rooms, the question will become, how did we allow this to happen? For my own part, I'm not particularly interested in laying blame on the likes of Clark, young, confused, gender dysphoric males whose actions are being encouraged by others. What's more interesting is why people who should know better, adult politicians, educators, administrators, scientists, and doctors, such as Dr. Ackman, have lent their names and reputations to this movement. One hopes that, at least in their private thoughts, they've begun to understand the disastrous effect of policies that prioritize the sanctity of male delusions over female safety." For The Guardian, FAIR advisor Jonathan Haidt wrote about the toll smartphones have taken on young people. Haidt states, "The other explanation I often hear is that Gen Z is anxious and depressed because of climate change, which will affect their lives more than those of older generations. Their concern is legitimate, but impending threats to a nation or generation as opposed to an individual do not historically cause rates of mental illness to rise. When countries are attacked either by military force or by terrorism, citizens usually rally around the flag and one another. They are infused with a strong sense of purpose, and suicide rates drop. When young people rally together around a political cause, from opposing the Vietnam War in the 1960s to peak periods of earlier climate activism in the 1970s and 1990s, they become energized, not dispirited or depressed. For Desert News, Hannah Syriac wrote about Monica Guzman and her approach to thriving across differences. Avoiding assumptions, she writes, is a key part of asking questions that will elicit better understanding, Guzman said. While teaching these skills to your children can be difficult, Guzman advised that you introduce friction in a low-risk way. This can also benefit adults. When thinking about the work of depolarization, it's common to see it as always trying to span the divide between Republicans and Democrats, but she said it should also apply to small divides that may exist within each individual party. Instead of finding a person you disagree with on most issues, Guzman said to start small and invite over for dinner someone with whom you've only had one disagreement. For The Atlantic, Tyler Austin Harper wrote about the bestseller White Rural Rage by Tom Schaller and Paul Waldman. Harper writes, White Rural Rage illustrates how willing members of the U.S. media and the public are to believe and ultimately launder abusive accusations against an economically disadvantaged group of people that would provoke sympathy if its members had different skin color and voting habits. That this book was able to make it to print and onto the bestseller list before anyone noticed that it has significant errors is a testament to how little powerful people think of white rural Americans. As someone who is from this kind of place, the authors demonize a place that is rural in the pejorative rather than literal sense. I find White Rural Rage personally offensive. I was so frustrated by its indulgence of familiar stereotypes that I aired several intemperate critiques of the book and its authors on social media. But when I dug deeper, I found that the problems with White Rural Rage extend beyond its anti-rural prejudice. As an academic and a writer, I find Schaller and Waldman's misuse of other scholars' research indefensible. The current state of student journalism and its implications for the future of American media. Join FAIR Wednesday, April 10th at 6 p.m. Eastern for a lively discussion about the increasing hurdles student journalists face today. We will sit down with FAIR fellow Sahar Tartak, a sophomore at Yale and editor-in-chief of the Yale Free Press, and Peter Savodnik, senior editor at the Free Press. Register now with the link in the description. Teaching about identity, lessons from the Cultural Revolution. Join FAIR in Education Thursday, April 11th at 6 p.m. for a conversation with Ji Van Fleet and Dr. Pingnung Chi, both survivors of the Chinese Cultural Revolution, as we discuss education in 1960s China and how to avoid similar mistakes in today's K-12 classrooms. Register today with the link below. EDI and Race Ideologies in Canadian Universities. Join Heterodox Academy and the Institute for Liberal Studies on the third annual Colloquia Conference on April 25th and 26th. This two-day conference explores the impacts, both positive and negative, of EDI and race ideologies on Canadian university campuses. Register today to tune in to this great event. Join Dissident Dialogues in partnership with Unheard and sponsored by Ground News in New York on May 3rd and 4th. The world's leading and most original thinkers gather for 2 days of debate, discussion, and disagreement. Discussions will feature FAIR advisor Michael Schellenberger and Li Fang, as well as Richard Dawkins, Ayaan Hirsi Ali, John McWhorter, Steven Pinker, Constantine Kissin, Francis Foster, John Varakay, Thomas Chatterton Williams, Kathleen Stock, Freddie Sayers, Bridget Fedesi, Diana S. Fleischman, Africa Brook, Alex O'Connor, and Mary Harrington. We want the FAIR Substack to be the go-to publication for diverse perspectives on culture and civil rights. Whether you're a seasoned author or an amateur writer with a story that can contribute to our mission of promoting fairness, understanding, and humanity, we would love to receive your stories, opinions, investigations, reviews, interviews, and more. Please send your piece to submissions at fairforall.org. We hope to hear from you. Finally, if you liked this podcast, subscribe, share it with a friend, and leave us a rating and review. Make sure to check out our newsletter and weekly roundup to read more into any of this week's stories or visit the episode description. Donations are always welcome at fairforall.org/donate.